Hello, and welcome to the PixiePearls.com podcast, episode 10, Tank Tops. Well, I hope everyone had a great Memorial Day weekend. I always love having a Monday off because it means it's a shorter week. Today I'm going to be talking about what else but tank tops. I'm going to talk about my Sockapalooza socks and how I completely messed them up. I'm going to do a yarn sale store spotlight, which I don't know what to really call that, but it's a website spotlight. And then I'm going to do a blog and technique spotlight. After that, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit more in depth about what I did over my weekend and how I failed miserably at trying to do yard work. Alright, well, let's get started. First off, I am still having my tank top woes. And for those of you that have been tuning into my podcast, you know that I have had a continual problem of being able to pick a tank top pattern and being able to knit it and have success. I'm just really not good at this. I don't know, I have a jinx or something. Something's just not working correctly. I haven't figured out what I'm doing exactly wrong, except I'm probably rushing. Maybe I'm not paying enough attention. Maybe I'm not doing my math correctly. I'm just thinking that I'm not meant to knit a tank top. I probably have at least 10 to 20 tank top patterns that I like, but they're not always in a yarn that I have the same gauge or the same type of fabric, so it's going to create the same kind of lay, the way that it fits you and the way that it drapes. And then I have what I call my starts and fits, in which I pick a pattern, I pick a yarn out of my stash, or I buy new yarn, and then I knit a gauge swatch, and I'm on gauge, and it's awesome, and I'm like, okay, this is going to work. Or sometimes I'll go through more fits within that where I'm not on gauge and I have to change needle size, or my gauge swatch doesn't make any sense and I switch three needle sizes but I still get the same stitches per inch. It just kind of varies. But let's just say, for this example's sake, that I have the correct gauge. I had my Natural Silk Erin, which is awesome yarn. It is gorgeous. It's viscose, silk, and linen, and I talked about it on a previous podcast, but I hadn't knit with it yet. Well, I made a swatch, and it was beautiful. Loved it. Couldn't have loved it any more. It was just as pretty knit up as it was on the ball. And I adored it. It was great. So I knit it up, and then I put it on the needles, and I started to knit, and I cast on 77 stitches, which was at 4.5 stitches per inch. It was supposed to be around about 17 inches. I hope I got all that correct, but trust me, it was right when I did it. I double-checked my math. So I cast on the 77 and I knit for like 3 or 4 inches and I was all proud. And then I measured the width of it and it was 20 plus inches. That would leave me with a 40 plus inch bust tank top sweater, whatever you want to call it. Problem! That's not good! So I ripped and got highly frustrated and I think I knit some more and then I ripped again and I just gave up. No more luck with my tank top woes. I'm just not having a good time here. And I thought the Natural Silk Erin would make such a great tank top because it has a really good drape to it because of the linen. And it's not wool, so it's not going to be quite so hot. And then the silk, it's just so pretty. It's a really tweedy yarn. It's great. Well, what I can tell you, the good news, is that I was at crafter.org, which of course is a website that I talk about all the time that I love. And they had a really great highlight section where they were talking about summer projects, summer knits. And if you go to crafter.org/forum and you find the knitting forum and you click on the completed projects group within the knitting forum, there is a thread called Featured Projects Summer Knits with Patterns, New Additions. Some fabulous tank tops in it. There is this pretty purple tank top. It's really lacy. And then I think it has like the DNA type stripes sequence. It's one of the similar ones like that where it's some sciencey thing and it's going up the center. Really, really pretty. And then there is a camisole Empire Waist type little tank with some lace at the bottom and a little ribbon. And then there's a little halter top and then a cute little t-shirt with some drop stitches, which looks really cute if you like kind of a natural earthy look. Then there's a little cropped cardigan and a plain old tank top with a racer back. Another lacy tank that's really cute. And then another pretty tee with lace going down the center. it's got some great patterns, and they're all free. You know, I don't know, I can't guarantee about the sizes, and that there's a lot of, there could be errors in the patterns because it's just off of a forum. Though some of them do link off to sites, but it's awesome. It's like six, it's something you would want if you wanted to get a magazine from a knitting store that said tank top patterns. It's exactly what you would imagine you would find in there. But just to talk a little bit more about the whole swatching thing, you know, a lot of times I will have yarn and I look at it on the ball and or the skein and I just think, this is beautiful. This is gorgeous. And then I start to knit it and it doesn't go very well because I'm not as pleased with the yarn in the swatch as I was with it on the ball. And I think that happens to a lot of us when we start to knit something up. It's just not as pretty knit up as it was. It's a weird thing. That's where I compare yarn to shoes. It's like buying a beautiful pair of shoes, but every time you wear them, they hurt your toes. But God, do you love looking at them. Or just sitting on your couch and wearing them in your house. I really think the Rowan Natural Silk knit up just as pretty as the ball. And considering how expensive and beautiful that yarn is, I was very surprised. But I was really pleased with it. Alright, so shall we talk about my next knitting disaster? As though trying to knit a tank top 50 times and not succeeding isn't bad enough. This Saturday, I finished my second Sockapalooza sock. Now, I just couldn't blog about what happened because it was too painful to write. I wanted to cry. I could not write down what I had done. So I knit using the magic loop. And I don't know exactly, you know, all patterns are written differently, but the way I knit it, after you have done the gusset decreases and you've knit the foot and you get to the toe, you have to rearrange the stitches on your needle in order to do the toe decreases. Well, I forgot to rearrange the stitches for the toe decreases, so mine are on the top and the bottom of the sock instead of the left and the right side of the sock. Can I tell you how beautiful that looks? It's just gorgeous. You put it on and you get the nice decrease line rubbing against the bottom and the top of your foot. Now, on my blog, I managed to take the picture and kind of hide that little problem. I had actually bound off and woven in the ends before I realized what I had done, and I am like 30 days past the due date. These socks are done. They're in the oven cooked, and they're burnt. They're gone. I'm sending them to my sock pal. Maybe she'll appreciate it. I was in the beginner group. They had two groups for Sockapalooza, beginner and advanced or intermediate, and I went smartly with beginner because I've only technically finished one pair of socks. This is my second pair of completed socks with a broken toe. I guess I could explain it. It's a broken toe, so I have to write a little letter and say, here are your socks, I hope you like them, despite the fact that they have a deformed foot, deformed toe. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to sending that, but I plan on putting in some nice sock yarn, making up for it. Hey, it's a pair of socks. She can wear them. I know if you're listening, and I really doubt you are listening to my podcast, I apologize ahead of time. I'm really sorry that I gave you a deformed toe sock. Lesson learned. Pay attention when you're knitting. Now today I have a special spotlight because it's not exactly what I normally do. I tend to focus on blogs and knitting forums. But I realized all of us blogging knitting geeks are aware of these very large sites that we take for granted. So I thought it might be good if I talked about a few of those sites. And, well, today I'm just going to talk about one. And the one that I'm going to talk about is probably the big mama of well-known large knitting yarn retailers. And that retailer or yarn seller is knitpicks.com. KNITPICKS.com. KnitPicks is probably most considered like a knitter's paradise because they have extremely inexpensive yarn. It's far less expensive than anything you could ever get at Joann's or Michael's or Walmart, and I think it's better quality just because of the content of the yarn. For example, for $2.49, you can get Shine Worsted, which is 60% Pima Cotton and 40% Modal, which I hope I'm pronouncing correctly, and that's 75 yards at $2.50. So you could save $5 for almost 500 yards of Pima Cotton. Not too bad, and it's really pretty yarn. I actually tried a bunch of this yarn because I got the Andean silk for my Harry Potter scarf, and it's gorgeous because it's got this little bit of a shine to it. And its fiber content is 55% super fine alpaca, 23% silk, and 22% merino wool for $3.29 a ball at 96 yards. So that's about $7 for 200 yards. That's a really good deal for alpaca and silk. I have heard mixed reviews. I've heard some that said they didn't like the quality of the yarn, but really 9 times out of 10, this site gets really good reviews and people rave about it and love it. It is affordable yarn and it's luxurious yarn. It has, I mean, what more could you ask for besides alpaca and silk? I don't buy a lot from them. I like them, but I'm just kind of a yarn snob in a little bit of a way. Not on purpose. I don't judge what other people buy. I just love Rowan, and I love Debbie Bliss, and I love expensive yarn. I have expensive taste. I can't help it. It just comes naturally, you know. I just really like Rowan yarn. I think that's probably my favorite. I love Calmer. I love felted tweed. I just love Rowan. They're like the Banana Republic of yarn. I just think they have gorgeous stuff, and I like the designs. Now, the summer tweed, I've seen that in person. I didn't like it. The Rowan summer tweed, it feels rough. I just don't think it's soft enough. But if you buy from Knit Picks, they also have a magazine that comes out monthly. At least I think it's monthly. It might be quarterly, but I got a magazine today, and it was the May issue, and today's May 30th, so it's a little late getting to me, and there's no tank tops in it. Well, okay, there's one tank top, but it's all sweaters. I don't understand. I was looking at this magazine going, am I mental? Or do they have long sleeve sweaters and cardigans? And this is late spring to summer. So I'm looking forward to their June issue if they have one. I'm hoping it will have tank tops in it. Maybe they're just revving up, but I was really confused as to why there were so many sweaters in the May issue. Well, that's enough about yarn for this episode. Next, I'm going to do my blog and technique spotlight. Today we have a really good one. I found this on accident. I think I was blog surfing. And it's knittypants.blogspot.com. knittypants.blogspot.com. The reason I came across this particular blog was because she had a tutorial. And the tutorial is on how to lengthen a sweater. She has fabulous photographs to go along with this tutorial. And I will put a link directly to it at podcast.pixiepearls.com, and she has these pretty purple swatches that she did, and it was for a sweater where she had to cut off the ribbing and then add length to the bottom, and she did it, and then she ended it with a tubular cast off, I believe. I'll read a little bit of the directions, but I recommend you go and check out this tutorial because it's really fabulous, and now I want to try doing this, especially now that I already gave away that Dale Garn sweater, because I could have lengthened the bottom, but it was still a little bit too wide. But what she does is she gets a smaller needle than what she originally cast on with or she was knitting with. And then she weaves it through the right side of each stitch all across the whole entire row. Then she gets all the stitches on like that, and she cuts two rows down from the row that her needle is holding. This gives room for error and shaky hands, and helps you not accidentally cut through some of the plies being held on the needle. And then she says she did that the first time she tried to do this, and that's why she goes up so high. So then she takes a deep breath, and she cuts right along her knitting all the way down. It's got to be just as scary as steeking, maybe a little less scary because you know you can't ruin the whole thing. So then there might be a row left above what's on the needle, and you just unravel it, and now you have a nice long tail. And voila, you knit. It really is that simple by looking at her tutorial. I'm just really impressed by how easy she made it seem and how great the pictures are. And then I started surfing the rest of her blog. And she has fabulous finished items. She's very similar taste to me. I thought her blog was great, and I promptly added it into blog lines. So go check her out, knittypants.blogspot.com. If you guys can't tell, I'm a little excited today. I've got a little extra energy, a little extra pep. I just came from eating sushi with my husband, and I love to get an avocado roll. And this sushi restaurant near my house is very special. It's owned by a husband and wife, and their daughter and their son work there. And they have sushi and they have Chinese food, which is really nice because depending on what you're in the mood for, those are very different foods. And what I love that they will do for me every time I go in there is I get an avocado roll. And an avocado roll consists of the rice and avocado in the center. And that's it. There's nothing else in there. And what I love about it is that they will make it with no seaweed for me. Because I have had two bad incidents where I choked on the seaweed in a sushi roll and like almost died. Okay, I didn't go to the hospital, but it was so bad that I had to pull the seaweed out of my throat. Okay, but that's really gross. But sparing you the details, I almost choked twice, so I have a phobia of seaweed and sushi. It makes me like get really freaked out, and then I can't swallow properly. So by removing the seaweed, they take the stress out of the eating it. I can relax when I'm eating the rolls and enjoy them. Plus, they're way more yummy without the seaweed in them. But most restaurants won't do that. They consider it too difficult to make. Even the more expensive restaurants, which really annoys me. If I go to the big city, you know, I've been to Seattle, Atlanta, they refuse to make it without the seaweed. They say it's too hard. Even though this nice little, tiny little sushi shop up in BFE, Georgia will make it for me any day I ask for it. In fact, it was their idea. It was their suggestion because they noticed when I would order the avocado rolls, I would poke the rice and the avocado out and then dip it in the sauce and eat it. And I would leave like mangled seaweed with rice on the plate. So they made the suggestion that they could make it without the seaweed, and I have been spoiled ever since. So when we go and eat sushi, I get in a very good mood and I get very hyper because I've just had a very yummy meal. And we go get sushi several times. Like last Friday when we got sushi, we came home, I was in a very good mood until I checked the mail. And in the mailbox, there was a letter from my neighborhood yelling at us for having weeds in our front flower beds. And we have a covenant in our neighborhood, and our mailboxes have to match, and our lawn has to be cut. I have a guy who comes and does our front lawn, so I'm good with the grass. It's all taken care of. I have these people who come and put the chemicals down to keep the weeds from growing in the Bermuda grass that we have in the front yard. Out here in Georgia, it is very hot, and we have the Bermuda grass, which if you're familiar with it, it goes dormant in the winter, and it turns just like yellow-brown, but it stays there. And then in the summer, it gets blotchy, and you've got this brown grass with these blotches of green, and then eventually it all, in the middle of spring or summer, it's this deep, dark, vibrant, thick green grass, and it's beautiful, but it's really thick, and it's really hard to mow. And if you don't mow it enough, weeds grow up in the center. It can look pretty gnarly if you're not careful about keeping it up. Well, so we keep the grass up, but the problem is the flower beds. We've got these pretty bushes in them, and I don't know, we didn't plant them when we bought the house, they were here. And I thought to myself, that'll be a great project for Memorial Weekend. I can feel like I accomplished something. I'm always saying to my husband, let's do something this weekend. Let's get outside. I don't care if it's doing a chore or going shopping. Just getting something done and feeling like the weekend didn't pass by and I did absolutely nothing. In particular, when I have a weekend when none of my knitting goes well. Because then I really don't feel like I accomplished anything all weekend. So we went out there and I thought, no big deal. I got some water. I put on a tank top, some long pants, and some good shoes. And I went out to the bush, and I got my pruning shears, these big pruning shears, and I started cutting. Well, within 2 minutes, I had a spider on my shoulder, and I screamed, and my husband helped me get it off me. And then I continued cutting, and then I got another spider on my head. And then I went back to cutting, and then I got a spider on my arm that bit me, or some kind of crawling thing. It bit me, and it stung, and it hurt. So then I started to whine at my husband and say that I didn't want to do this anymore, and he got me a long-sleeve sweater. And please keep in mind that it was 90 degrees out this weekend in Georgia. So I put on the sweater. I had on a gardening hat and my long pajama pants and my big hiking shoes. So I was really hot. And then I took out the spray, and I was spraying in between the cement blocks on the driveway to kill the weeds, and I lasted, I think, about 10 more minutes, and then I just said to my husband, you know, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to do the dishes, and you can stay out here, and I'm really sorry that I thought we could do this weekend, and it was my idea, and I left him out there, and he stayed out there for an hour, And I felt really guilty because it was my idea and he had wanted to call a gardening person. And I thought, you know, hey, we'll save $100, but I think it wasn't worth that. I would rather forgo buying yarn for 2 more sweaters and just pay someone to do the front beds. Now, we did shear the bushes and we did clean out the weeds and he took care of some other things. I think he weed whacked or something. So I'm proud of us. We did good, but okay, well, I'm proud of him. He did good. But in the future, I really need to have a good memory and remember that I need to call and have someone do it because I failed miserably at yard work. The only thing I've ever succeeded doing was in the fall pruning the butterfly bushes. And I think that's because no bugs are out because it's freezing out. And I like it when there's no spiders out. So yeah, I just thought I would share my failures at yard work with you. We're getting better in the kitchen. There has been an improvement. My husband never did notice that I had hidden away half of the dishes. I finally revealed it to him on Sunday. I felt I owed it to him, and he laughed. He thought it was pretty damn funny. I could tell part of him wanted to get those dishes out, but then he admitted that, yes, indeed, the kitchen was cleaner because we had half the dishes to get dirty, and the kitchen looks great. We've been doing a good job 2 solid weeks of no dirty dishes in the sink. I'm proud. To me, this is our preparation for having kids. I don't care about the money and the big material things. I'm just like, if you and I want to be ready to have children, we need to keep the house cleaner and we need to be better people. And he goes, I just want to relax more. Can I work more hours and we pay someone to do it? And I'm just like, no, honey, we need to clean like the rest of the world does. Well, I think I've babbled on long enough about my gardening and my tank top woes and my sock woes. I'm sure you're all tired of hearing me whine. So I'm going to end it a little early today at 22 minutes, and I hope you guys have a great week, and hopefully I'll be talking to you again soon. And you're, of course, welcome to send me any feedback or things you'd like to hear me talk about. Just email me at podcast@pixiepearls.com. I try to reply to all the emails that I get. I hope you all have better luck knitting your tank tops than I have. Have a great week, and happy knitting.